That's the director's report. So, Director Unsworth, I will turn the mic over to you.
Hey, thank you and good morning. And thanks for allowing us to come to your beautiful community in this fabulous facility. It's very nice up here. To start my report, you have the written report. I'm not going to go through that word for word, but I would like to talk about a couple of other items. As you know, or as the commission knows, and maybe some of the public knows, we've been traveling the state the last few months on a listening tour. We call it our Washington Wild Futures Tour. We've had six public meetings where we've brought out department staff from Olympia and then local regional staff to listen to sportsmen and commercial folks just about what they would like the department to look like in the future, and what are we doing well now, and what we can improve on. It's been they've been exciting meetings and been a lot of fun, and it's been quite different than your more normal public meeting where we're the talking heads and you're listening, and we don't have to have this good free interchange. So they've been exciting. We've had over 400 members of the public show up to these meetings, and we've also had online opportunity for people to comment, and we have received about 2,400 emails so far of just people interested in the future of Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. So that's been exciting. We are going to hold two more meetings, one on the coast and probably one at the fisherman's terminal over in Seattle to try to target and listen to more of the commercial fishermen that maybe we haven't hit them with some of the meetings with our emphasis for all over the state. But they've been very exciting, and some of the things have been kind of predictable, and I'll see if I can I have a list of a few items that have come up in lots of the meetings, but these are the sorts of the things that people are interested in right now. And one, we're hearing this a lot. People would like more access to recreation. So they would like to be able to have access to places to hunt and fish. And we have, the department manages about 1 million acres of our own property and wildlife management areas around the state. But people still feel a need to get on to private property. And certainly there's been a crunch on some of the private timberlands and hunting. So those are things we can work on in the future. There continues to be strong support for our law enforcement efforts, and we'd like to look at ways to increase our staffing in that area and our presence around the state. We still have about the same number of officers as we've had for, gosh, I don't know how many years, but you know, we have over 7 million people in the state of Washington now and about the same amount of officers as we've had for 20-plus years, and so that's an area where we need to look. People always are looking for more volunteer and partnership opportunities, and they would like to have better routes of communication with the department. I think those are things we can always work on. One thing that most people will recognize everywhere we go, we hear that we'd like to see simpler fishing rules and regulations, and I'm all for that. As a new Washingtonian, when I came and hit the ground about the first weekend I was here, I went fishing and I got our fishing rules, and I've had a hard time wading through and making sure that I'm staying reasonably legal. So if I'm having that much trouble, I know that the average person is too, and not that I'm above average, but anyway, I know we can do better. We can improve our rules. And part of that, I heard today talking about how we report our catch. I think that there's some methods out there where we can start to move towards electronic catch reporting with phones. I'm reading off this list from my phone right now. And I think that we can do some things in the future that are going to be really wonderful for fishermen. And also, we can move towards regulations that we can have GPS enabled, that I can be standing here on the dock and pull my phone out, and it'll tell me what the limits are and what's available for me. And I think that's in the future, but it's coming. hear a lot, and we heard it today, about increasing participation and opportunity for young people. We need to recruit more people to our sport and to our commercial industries. And to do that, we have to make sure that opportunity is out there and that our rules and regulations aren't so complex that we prohibit people from those kinds of opportunities. Continued interest, this is more of an east side thing, but in land acquisition, and that's both sides of that issue. There are some counties that don't want to see the department acquire any more land, but certainly our customers or our sportsmen would like us to provide more access. We always get comments about keeping the politics out of fish and wildlife management, and I think with the commission, we try to do the best we can. None of us are so naive to think that politics aren't important or that we have to listen to the and shape our science, or not shape the science, but shape the interpretation of our science with public input, and I think we do a good job of that, and hopefully these kind of opportunities to have you come before the commission help us with that. One thing I'd like to, with that, though, that's kind of where we're at, more opportunities. If you would like to comment and talk about what you would like to see the department doing or how to emphasize certain things that you think are important, please get online. We're going to have a report available here in the next couple of weeks with some of the items I read, but we're also going to list a bunch of just the individual comments that people have made. We want to make sure that people are getting feedback, that we are listening, and where we're going in the future. Part of this is eventually we need to talk to the legislature, and we need to have support from sportsmen from a stable to stabilize our funding into the future. And that's going to have to be a combination of recreational commercial fishermen and hunters and also wildlife watchers and other people that just enjoy wildlife and fisheries that don't have or don't normally buy licenses, hunting and fishing licenses, but they'd still like what we do, and they want to support wildlife and fisheries and support the department. So we need to look at ways to stabilize our finances and into the future. So that's part of this for sure. It's not the main part of it, but it's definitely something we're going to be working on over the next 12 months into the next legislature. Not this winter, but next winter. We're going to be talking with the legislature. With that, I know I've talked to a couple of you all this morning, and there's some interest in some specific items on the steelhead side. And so I want to hit Kelly Cunningham. He's one of our fisheries folks from Olympia. And Kelly, could you give us an update on where we're at with the hatchery genetic management plans and our steelhead fisheries for this year?
Sure. Thank you, Director Unsworth, Chair Smith, members of the commission. A focus on Puget Sound, if I could, for just a minute. If you remember back in August, we provided you an update on the hatchery and fishery reform policy, and we talked a little bit there about where we were in the process, specifically working with our federal partners to get those programs permitted. And as you are aware, NOAA in 2013... I'll try to speak up. Is that better? Can you hear me now? All right. So back in 2013, NOAA Fisheries submitted a draft EIS. Problem we had with that draft EIS is it didn't accurately describe our hatchery programs. A lot of the programs that were described in that EIS, draft EIS, were over a decade old. And as you all know, we made numerous changes with respect to hatchery reform and wanted NOAA to recognize those changes and change the draft EIS. So from that point, a decision was made to go to individual watershed EAs. So from a staffing perspective, NOAA was having trouble with resources. So what we did is we assigned program staff to help draft those EAs and went that route. Based on the public comment that NOAA received for abandoning the EIS early last year, they decided to redraft the EIS. So So we've been helping them with the public comment portion, responding to public comments associated with the EIS. So we have provided a number of staff resources to our federal partners to help get their work done. In addition, NOAA is on the hook for biological opinions, assessments, in order to get a buyout from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And again, having some pretty difficult funding issues of their own, we're unable to provide that resource. So what we've done is had conversations with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and we have entered into an IPA. IPA is the Intergovernmental Personnel Act, and we have assigned a program staff to work with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to take up the slack, if you will, so they can assign their staff to complete those biops, and our staff will do their regular work, for lack of a better term. So we have entered into that IPA. It's a 50-50 sharing agreement that I don't know that the ink is dried on that, but we have identified a staff. That staff person is poised to move into the Lacey office and work directly with Fish and Wildlife Service for a period of 6 months that we can extend. So wanted to let you know that we're assigning these resources. We're still on track to have those programs permitted in time for us to release those fish this spring. So as you're aware, we haven't released early winter steelhead in Puget Sound the last 2 years, and it's if those programs are going to survive, it's essential that we have releases this spring. So,
Mr. Walker.
Thanks for that update. Now, we were just informed this past week that the Wild Fish Conservancy has filed a notice of intent to sue for the NOAA for not having issued a steelhead recovery plan for Puget Sound. I understand you're not an attorney, but what's your first take on the impact that will have on this effort to get the HGMPs approved?
Yeah, well, if you'll remember, one of the, and we may have additional experts in the room. I'm certainly not one when it comes to the legal issues associated with EIS and whatnot. But what we have heard from NOAA Fisheries, and if you'll remember, I think it was summer before last, Senator Pearson convened a work session, legislative work session, and NOAA Fisheries testified at that work session and expressed concern about additional litigation and how that may slow them down. So we'll be in contact with them. We are committed to providing whatever resources we can to help our federal partners get their work done. We've got a track record of that over the last 2 years. I think this IPA is another example of us redirecting staff work to help our partners. So we'll be having that conversation with Bob Turner, Rob Jones in the very near future to find out what, if anything, we can do to help them.
Thank you.
Councillor Freymeyer, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah. Okay. It's too early.
Well, Kelly, while we have you up there, and maybe Ron can help us with this, but could you give us just a brief update on where we're at in the process of designating wild steelhead gene banks?
Sure, I'll do my best. We visited with the Fish Committee last night on this, and I should have brought my notes up here, but Ron, I'm going to call on you to help me if you can. So we've completed the public process, if you will, of the initial conversations, and we have a proposal in front of the Fish Committee that I don't know if you want me to talk about that specifically, but the Fish Committee will be presenting to the full commission staff proposal. And I think, do we have a date, Ron, for the... on the back page. Sure. So just going to refer to our proposed schedule timeline. Here we are in early December, where we've briefed the Fish Committee on the process to date, where we've what we've heard from the public with regard to the potential gene banks in Puget Sound. Our next step is to brief Senator Pearson later this month. He has expressed interest in this, and we want to pay attention to that. Later, shortly after briefing Senator Pearson, we'll be briefing the Steelhead Cutthroat Policy Advisory Group. We'll be submitting a news release at that point. We'll then have a discussion on recovery planning entities with NOAA, leading to some advisory group meetings where we hope to land on a final recommendation, all culminating in a final draft portfolio that we will complete and present to you in September of next year. So,
okay, thank you. I know there are some people in the audience that are interested in where we're at in that process.
Sure, I'm happy to touch base with Mr. McMillan here as soon as you let me go.
Okay. A couple more items. I'll switch gears a little bit and talk about some terrestrial creatures. Our wolf conservation efforts continue to move along. So far, that hasn't been an issue in this part of Washington, but certainly in central and northeast Washington, it's a very hot issue for many of our constituents. Wolf numbers continue to increase. They're a very fecund animal. And right now, some of our biggest concerns going into this next summer, our wolf populations continue to increase. We have increasing numbers of packs in central Washington in the Cascades, and those areas are still listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. And we have some concerns that our friends, co-managers in the Fish and Wildlife Service are going to be prepared for some potential livestock depredations and some things that are happening this summer. So I don't want to be a predictor of bad news, but I think that we'll be having some interesting discussions over the next few months on our wolf populations and how we get into management on this west side where we're still listed. So you'll be hearing more about that into the future. Another large carnivore of interest is the grizzly bear. I just returned this week from the Interagency Grizzly Bear Committee. I'm just assumed the chairmanship of that group. And one of the discussion topics was the possibility of reintroduction of grizzly bears into the North Cascades. That is in process right now. Excuse me. They're working on the EIS and gathering comment, and so that's something that people of Washington will want to keep your eye on and comment and think about into the future what the future holds for grizzly bears and grizzly bear management. Remind people we do have a handful of bears in Washington. There's grizzly bears along the Selkirks in the northeast Washington, and there is the occasional bear seen in the North Cascades. So certainly they're a native animal, and eventually they will return because they're a mortality-controlled animal. If we don't kill them, then they slowly increase, and that's what they've seen in Yellowstone and Glacier National Park and in northern Idaho and northwest Montana. So interesting animal that we'll be dealing with in the future. And with that, I think I'll conclude my report. And thanks again for coming. We'll be here at the breaks and look forward to visiting with any of you one-on-one. If you want to make your pitch for us to listen to something, staff is here and we're available.
Thank you, Director. Commissioner Grable.
Director, I was very encouraged to hear that there will be a report coming out soon as a result of these listening sessions. Mm-hmm. The feedback I'm getting is public and user groups and stakeholders that I've talked to were very impressed with that process. And then, of course, then they want to know the results. And mm-hmm. I'm very encouraged by the fact that you expect a quick turnaround and be able to report to the public even these bullet points that you mentioned today that are the areas of concern. So thanks for moving on that. It was a great idea, and the follow-up is going to be much appreciated.
Yeah, and a follow-up on that, Commissioner, I imagine it's in the works somewhere, but a synopsis of those findings shared with the legislature, I think would be a, I'm sure you've already thought about that.
We're hoping to get an invite from the two germane committees to come up and give a rundown on our listening sessions this winter. So yeah. I think we will.
And so I'm looking forward to that. And I think there's an opportunity for some good press on that as well, which would help the cause, too. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Nope.